We read from the book of John the account of the baptism of our Savior and the remarkable manifestations which followed this significant event. Then the scripture records, "Again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples and looked upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye?" What a wonderful sight to behold as I look into so many faces today. You seem happy and eager with the prospects ahead of you this week. As I looked at the program for this exciting week and the scheduled activities, I saw the title on the front page, What Seek Ye? It brought to mind so many questions. How soul-searching will you make this week? How deep will you be willing to probe? What will you seek this day? What will you seek here this week? Will you seek self-renewal, rejuvenation in our stay on the campus this next few days? The 13th article of faith tells us, if there is anything virtuous, lovely, or of good report, or praiseworthy, we seek after these things. What seek ye intellectually, in talent, in skills? What seek ye in knowledge, in wisdom, in mental and emotional stability, in peace of mind? We must be here seeking something that will better our lives, that will improve our talents, our abilities, our knowledge, and will make life sweeter and more meaningful for us. Otherwise, we would not have made the effort to gather and spend time at this institution. Within the church, there is a place for all truth, for everything that is praiseworthy, virtuous, lovely, or of good report. For we are taught to look with unwavering confidence for other revelations, for truth yet to be added, glories grander than we have yet been made known, eternities of powers, dominions, progress beyond the mind of man to conceive, or the soul to contain. The prophet Joseph Smith said, "We consider that man has created, God has created man with a mind capable of instruction, with a faculty that may be enlarged in proportion to the heed and diligence given to the light communicated from heaven to the intellect. And the nearer man approaches perfection, the clearer are his views and the greater his enjoyments, till he has overcome the evils of life and lost every desire for sin." What an exciting world we live in today. We have opportunities now that even just a decade ago we would not believe to be possible. The other day I sat in my hotel room in Auckland, New Zealand, and watched a young Mormon athlete, Peter Vitmar, win the gold medal on the pommel horse. I marveled and was fascinated and exhilarated by the world we live in today. Imagine sitting so far away, even on the other end of the world, and happenings instantaneously at the Olympics in Los Angeles were being viewed. It was stimulating as well as overwhelming to try to comprehend the changes that are just ahead of us in our society. In quoting from Megatrends, a book by John Nesbitt, he states, "We live in an information economy, an information society. In other words, we have shifted from an industrial society to one based on the creation and distribution of information. No longer do we have the luxury of operating within an isolated, self-sufficient national economic system. We must now be part of a global economy. And so it is regarding the church. We are no longer just a Wasatch Front, or a Utah, or an American church. We are a global church, reaching everywhere. What a challenge it is to keep pace in an ever-changing world. I've been fascinated for some time with the computer industry. For years, I've been exposed to punch cards, floppy disks, microchips, mainframes, tape drives, software, hardware, and all that goes into their makeup. Computers are designed to imitate the functions of the human mind. All computers do similar things. They receive data, that is input. They process it according to a central processing system. And they produce a result, an output. In our minds, it is automatic. In many ways, the human brain operates like a computer, but on a higher level, with a judgment and self-awareness. Our human computers, our minds, receive input from our senses, sight, hearing, touch, taste, and smell. This data and the instructions as to what to do with it are loaded in from sources such as schooling, other experiences, reasoning, and inspiration. We store these data and instructions in our memory, and they remain there until they are changed or erased. Our central processing unit examines the instructions and then brings back the data from memory to be processed. The results will either be stored back in memory for future use, or the results will be used in the form of output, such as speech, movement, insight, or solutions to problems. Instructions, which determine how our input data is processed, are arranged in program patterns of thought or action, just as electronic computers. When our human model is misprogrammed or misled, it receives false instructions. We produce bad output, resulting in our harm. To correct the wrong program, we must clear the register and lay out a new set of processing instructions, which will produce a happy, more beneficial output. This is the process of repentance. When we have processed the same kind of data over and over again, with the same kind of instructions, the actions involved almost become automatic. Righteousness or unrighteousness also become habitual through the things we see, hear, do, think about continually. The old computer adage is certainly true. Garbage in produces garbage out. In terms of the gospel, each of us possess a powerful, spiritual, central processing unit, which may or may not operate adequately if it is troubled by a storm or bad static from our human processor. If we receive input from righteous sources or from evil sources, our programming can be according to the Spirit or commands from God, or it can be from Satan. Our output can be righteous lives, our action which produces happiness and joy, which comes from the blessings, or it can be misery, unhappiness, condemnation that comes from wrongdoing and wrong thinking. Our electronic counterparts, our mental computers, will process mistaken data just as easily as correct data. We cannot have right and truly useful input in ignorance. Studying the Holy Scriptures provides righteous input as well as programming instruction for righteous processing. Personal prayer produces a continual correction of error and opens the way for inspiration to input us towards heavenly sources. The words of prophets provide us with instruction and data, and whisperings of the Spirit can confirm that we're operating correctly. I remember vividly my first exposure to computer programming, which taught me a great lesson. We were computerizing the swing at a golf ball and directing it towards a hole. We had to take into account all of the factors our golf ball was programmed in order that it would reach the hole safely. We had to program in the length of the stroke, the power of the swing, the type of ball we were using, the angle with which we struck the ball, the atmospheric conditions in which the ball would take flight, and the terrain in which the ball would land on its course to the hole. I remember how I struggled with this problem. The first time I tried out my program on the computer, it took a mighty swing at the ball, and the ball took off into space and never landed again. I had to turn off the computer to get the ball back into the atmosphere. It was headed in a direction entirely out of control, away from its objective. I had to go back and piece by piece reconstruct the steps until I had found the error and changed the course of the ball towards the hole. Lessons taught to us in history, contained in the Book of Mormon, certainly illustrate this point. We put into our system exactly what comes out in our action. History records in the sixth year of the reign of Judges over the people of Nephi that there was no contention nor wars in Zarahemla, but still the people suffered. The people were afflicted, yea, greatly afflicted, for the loss of their brethren, and also for the loss of their flocks and their herds, and also the loss of their fields of grain, which had been trodden underfoot and destroyed by the Lamanites. And so great were their afflictions that every soul had cause to mourn. And they believed that it was the judgments of God sent upon them because of their wickedness and their abominations. Therefore, they were awakened to remember their duty, and they began to establish the church more fully. Yea, and many were baptized. You see, they had corrected their input from the wars that had existed. But then, only a few verses later, see what is happening to the people. And it came to pass in the eighth year of the reign of Judges that the people of the church began to wax proud because of their exceeding riches and their fine silk and their fine twined linen, and because of their flocks and their herds and their gold and their silver and all manner of precious things which they had obtained by their industry. And in all these things they were lifted up in the pride of their eyes, and they began to wear very costly apparel. Now this was a cause of much affliction to Alma and the elders of the church, for they saw and beheld the great sorrow that of the people of the church when they began to be lifted up in the pride of their eyes and to set their hearts on the riches and upon the vain things of the world. And they began to be scornful towards one another and began to persecute those that did not believe according to their own will and pleasure. And there began to be great contentions among the people of the church. Yea, there were envyings and strife and malice and persecution and pride. What was the result of their output in becoming involved with the riches of the world? Why, the people lifted themselves up in their pride, despising each other and turning their backs on the needy and the naked and those who were hungering and those who were thirsty and those who were sick and afflicted. Yes, what we put in is exactly what controls our output. Fortunately, we as human beings and children of God have a distinct advantage over computers. We can reason with our brains. We can adapt. We can change if we so desire. We can change that which might have been programmed, which is not good. But once we are programmed, it is not so easy to change. How much better then if we live our lives in such a way that we're programmed only for that which the Lord would have us do. How important it is that we carefully screen and watch that input that we put into our brain. It is the diseased minds of the world that produce immoral plays and movies, literature of disrepute, violence, crime, and corruption. How much of these can we absorb without having the same results in our actions? What is the status of your spiritual data processing system? Are you in control of the input, the instructions, and monitoring carefully the output? Are you happy or unhappy? Are you moving towards higher goals? Are you wandering through a wasteland of wrongdoing? Join the age of marvels. Power up your spiritual processing system for righteous thinking, for righteous doing, and happiness before the Lord. Today we are gathered at the beginning of another education week at BYU. So again we ask you the question, what seek ye here? Do you come here to seek strength, to be obedient, to follow the commandments? Do you seek earnestly the best gifts, always remembering for what reason they have been given? What are that we may be of greater service in our Father in Heaven's kingdom? Do you seek to be of that service, to build the kingdom of God here on earth? For these gifts are given for the benefit of those who love me and keep all my commandments, and him that seeketh to do so, that all may be benefited that seek or ask of me. Do you seek the assurance that the course in life you are pursuing is approved of the Lord? You can enter into the rest of the Lord while still here in mortality if you gain the peace of mind and heart that comes from knowing that your pursuits in life are in complete harmony with God's commandments. And you will know without doubt that the course you have chosen is the course on the right way. Do you seek to help with problems? And do you here seek to be helped with problems and decisions in your life? The Doctrine and Covenants tells us, behold, I say unto you, that you must first study it out in your mind. Then you must ask me if it be right. If it is right, I will cause that your bosom shall burn within you. Therefore, you shall feel that it is right. Are you here seeking to become an instrument in the Lord's hands by seeking humility, meekness, submissiveness? Sister Pat Holland, newly called counselor in the first presence, in the first counselor in the young women's presidency, has said, it was a long time before I came to a path in my life where I understood the need to be fully submissive to the Lord's will. I think I was probably a mother with two small children before that really became clear to me. I just cannot underscore enough that loyalty to the will of God is the only way to fulfillment and peace. Are you seeking for happiness, contentment, peace of mind? Do you seek for physical well-being, for good health, for exercise? What seek ye in your home and in your family? What seek ye to accomplish in your family home evenings, in your family prayers? Do you earnestly seek for honest, wholesome, uplifting companionship? Do you seek for the good of others? Or do you look for the flaws that are so common in human beings? Do you seek to be a good example? Do you seek for emotional stability by understanding the will of others, patient, loving, accepting responsibility for the direction of your own that your own life is taking? Do you seek to improve your relationship with God and yet fail to improve your relationship with your neighbor? What seek ye in the way of forgiveness among your family, your neighbors, your friends, your business associates? Can we forever reach out with a spirit of forgiveness for all? Do ye suffer the hungry and the needy and the naked and the sick and the afflicted to pass by you and notice them not? Or do you look for ways to serve them? Do you come here seeking to make your leisure hours more productive? How mundane and ordinary our lives would be without cultural endeavors. Cultural arts are the spice of life. How we need to seek for the finer things of life to keep our life on a higher plane. Symphonic music rather than rock and roll. Beautiful paintings rather than pornography. Good literature rather than the so-called adult magazines. Exquisite needlework rather than idleness. Educational programs on TV rather than sex and violence. What are you exposing your minds, your brains to? Eventually, we will all become not only what we think, but also what we watch. Unfortunately, too many people exist on a mental diet of television, motion pictures created to shock us, and publications designed to stimulate us. Most of what we have available is junk food that leads to mental malnutrition and poor emotional and spiritual health. You can turn off your TV set, but can you turn off the television's influence? On the other hand, the potential for learning opportunities afforded us by television programming is unparalleled. Think of what we can do in teaching the gospel principles worldwide with the satellites now available to us. Which do you choose? The most beautiful melody is yet to be composed. The sweetest poem is yet to be written. The most magnificent scripture is yet to be made. The most breathtaking sunset has yet to occur. The finest painting has yet to be painted. The most magnificent building is awaiting to be built. The greatest book is still forming in someone's mind. Are you here seeking greater compassion and understanding of your fellow men? Can we seek the love and benevolence of our fellow men? Benevolence embraces charity and love for others. The Savior has placed it only second to the love of God. On one occasion, a certain Pharisee came to Christ, tempting him with a question on doctrine, in which he hoped he could entangle him. Their spokesman was a lawyer, and said, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Do we seek for this love? We cannot have one without the other. For without the love of one another, it would be impossible to please God. John the Beloved said, "Let us love one another, for love is of God. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." Did you come here seeking a better insight in the ways you can preserve and help build this great land of America? This land blessed above all others. This land of promise. The land in which the Lord has declared to us, even a land which I have prepared. Yea, a land which is choice above all other lands. Yes, a land especially prepared for the restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. A magnificent land. We know the Lord has poured out his blessings upon this land with one great provision. And now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land, that it is a land of promise, that whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God, or they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath shall come upon them. What seek ye in the fulfillment of your part in preserving this choice land, in upholding law and order, in making your community a better place to live? Did you attend your mass meetings? Did you vote in the primary election this morning before you came to BYU? Did you seek to study the issues, to know the platforms, to acquaint yourself personally with the candidates and his beliefs and his intentions? Are you seeking to be a participating member in this land of the free and make your contribution in your own special way to preserve the blessings the Lord has given to us? What seek ye in spirituality? Do you seek for a spiritual well-being, a spiritual insight, and an understanding? Do you seek for greater faith? Do you seek for an eternal perspective towards life's purposes? Do ye honestly seek and wholeheartedly look for a true knowledge of the Lord's way? What seek ye in understanding of the powers and workings of the Holy Priesthood, to know its blessings and its magnitude? Do we constantly make an effort to communicate with our eternal Father, pleading in humble, gratuitous prayers? Do we offer them often enough? Do we seek to have a prayer in our heart always? Do we seek to understand his many ways and the ways that he communicates with us, not only through prayer and inspiration, but the messages that come from his prophets who are here on the earth today? Do we listen? Do we grasp the message? Do we hear the word of God? Do we seek for the Spirit of the Lord through fasting and prayer, by study and pondering the scriptures, by reading as well as listening to the teachings of the prophet? Do ye seek for a greater understanding of the scriptures? Do ye seek for the blessings which are yours to receive? Do you seek for the guidance of the Holy Spirit in every aspect of your life, for direction in all things? Are you willing to be led by that Spirit? Do ye seek to magnify the light of Christ, the light that all of his children are born with. For the Spirit giveth light to every man that cometh into the world. And the Spirit enlighteneth every man through the world that hearkeneth to the voice of the Spirit. What are we doing with this light? Do we seek for it? Do we seek to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, clean and pure, faithful and ready to face our Savior? What do we seek on the Sabbath day? Will the promised blessings, temporal and spiritual, from the Lord be ours because we have sought after them and kept His holy day sacred? Do you seek after a Christ-like character for personal integrity, for a good reputation, a reputation that will stand the test with members of the church and also your non-member friends? Do you seek for an honest living, to be honest in all your dealings with your fellow men? Are you seeking to pay all of your obligations? Do you seek to be in good standing with the Lord financially by paying a full tithe, a generous fast offering, and contributing to the missionary work? What seek ye in the way of testimony of Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Do you seek to take upon yourself the name of Christ? Do you seek to make the Lord the center of your lives? Do you seek to understand the atonement, the great atoning sacrifice that the Lord made for us, and the blessings that are ours, attainable only because of it? Do you seek to live by every word that proceedeth forth from the mouth of the Lord? Do you seek to embrace the new and everlasting covenant? Do you seek for the blessings of the temple, for yourself and your spouse, and for your children, and for your ancestors? How important it is to seek and live worthy of the blessing of a temple recommend you carry in your pocket, and how important it is to use it. It is our obligation as temple recommend holders, not just an option that we have. Oh, what joy there is in temple attendance. Some time ago, while the Salt Lake Temple was undergoing remodeling, my wife decided one day to gather up the ladies in our condominium building and drive out to the Jordan River Temple to enjoy a session there. After the session had been completed and they came out of the temple, they found that the land was being blessed with a hard rain. As they drove out of the temple grounds, standing under the shelter, awaiting for a bus, was a little elderly lady. My wife stopped and asked her if she wanted a ride into the city. She immediately came forward. On the ride into the city, they heard a most humble testimony of a sweet sister who every day was taking the bus to the Jordan River Temple, summer and winter, rain or shine, to accomplish her temple work. She was only 84 years of age. She possessed a spirit and enthusiasm for temple work that deeply affected the riders in the car that day. I attended a very touching, heartwarming event on this recent trip to Tonga. We held a birthday celebration honoring the first anniversary of the dedication of this temple. I was so impressed with the people that gathered that morning to sing hymns and offer prayers of thanksgiving to the Lord for having a temple in their land. I asked the temple president how his membership was responding to have a temple in their midst. The statistics he furnished me were shocking. For each temple recommend holder in Tonga, they had attended an average of 20 temple sessions during the first year of its operation. That's each temple recommend holder. As you know, Tonga is made up of a group of small islands. Literally, some of the saints had paddled over to the island from their island to come over for 2 or 3 weeks, sleeping on straw mats, on cement floors, cooking over an open fire to provide their nourishment while they were fulfilling their obligation to the temple and to the work of the dead. What seek ye in the blessings of the temple? Do ye seek for the great teaching of truth that we can learn there as in no other place? What seek ye in developing a deep, rich spiritual understanding of your purpose here in mortality? It is not enough just to think about good words or desire them or to wish for them. We simply cannot sit back and pray for help and expect the Lord to answer our prayers forthwith. Spiritual growth, intellectual growth, stimulating of our minds and our brain all takes effort and takes time. But oh, how worthwhile. It is not so much when we start seeking, but how we start to seek. For example, Mickey Mantle was only 20 when he hit 23 home runs his first year in the majors. Golda Meir was 71 when she became the Prime Minister of Israel. Mozart was just 7 when his first composition was published. Ben Franklin was a newspaper columnist at the age of 16, and yet the framer of the United States Constitution at age 81. Joseph Smith was a mere boy of 14 when he began to seek after truth and found it. You are never too old or too young to seek after the right things. I know most of us here have a plan, well defined, and have set some goals. Yes, we think about them and often ponder them. We generally seek after good things. I was impressed with what Sharon Wells, Miss Utah of 1984, said recently. Setting high goals is essential if you want to develop your potential. I go for anything I think I can accomplish. The Lord has given everyone certain talents, and we are here to realize that we're to develop them in our own unique way if we're to become more like our Heavenly Father. She has a strong conviction about the gospel and her self-development. What we obtain too cheaply, we esteem too lightly, spoke Thomas Paine. Let us not be so busy seeking after the things of the world that we forget the things that really count here for our eternal life. Let us listen to the still small voice that our Heavenly Father has given to us to guide us in our daily activities. Let us strive to live honestly and righteously and devotedly, to be in tune with His Spirit and earnestly seek after His prayers. Now you have this glorious week ahead of you. What effort will you put forth to store the right input into the great central processing unit the Lord has especially blessed you with? Will your experiences here expand your vision, change your determination, open new opportunities for you, and develop within you a greater understanding of your personal worth? I hope this week will power you up with great enthusiasm for the things that you earnestly seek, the eternal things for which we've been so abundantly blessed. May our output from this experience dramatically reach out to affect the others in the world in which we live. My brothers and sisters, the gospel of Jesus Christ is true. God lives. Jesus is the Christ. Of this I bear solemn witness to you. And if we'll only stretch ourselves for that which is eternal good, the Lord has given us great promise. Verily, verily, I say unto you, as I have said unto my disciples, where two or three are gathered in my name, behold, there will I be in their midst. Even so, I am in the midst of you. Fear not to do good, my sons, for whatsoever ye sow, that ye also reap. Therefore, if ye sow good, ye shall reap good in your rewards. Therefore, fear not, little flock. Do good. Let earth and hell combine against you. For if ye are able to build upon my rock, they cannot prevail. Perform with soberness the work which I have commanded you to do. Look to me in every thought. Doubt not. Fear not. Be faithful. Keep my commandments, and ye shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. I know this to be true. Once again, what seek ye here? In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.